News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock. The phone lines are open at 251-343-0106. We're getting all kinds of texts from y'all, but happy to take your phone calls, turn up your voice this hour as well. I've got a question about Francis Collins, Dr. Francis Collins.
Mm-hmm.
He's been the director of the National Institute of Health, which seems to be a pretty, kind of big-time position.
Yeah.
But I really haven't heard him in the middle of this of COVID talk from the very beginning.
I've heard him quite a bit.
You have?
But I don't know about from the beginning. You know, the loudest voices in the room early on were, of course, Fauci and Deborah, was it Burke or Burks that
Burks
was there at the beginning?
Burks.
And,
she now works at the mall.
Yeah, I'm sure she's writing some tell-all book.
Fall from grace.
She had, she would kind of almost like talk behind President Trump's back, but it was on like national TV.
Yeah,
right?
So it's really not behind his
what
back.
What he doesn't know is, and so, it's been a really strange 2 years, hasn't it? And then even through the turn in administration from the Trump administration to the Biden administration, you still have Fauci, who's leading the charge. Well, and has there been a Sunday where he's not been on the national news?
Maybe there has, but you're right. I mean, he's been the drumbeat, right? And despite the criticism of Fauci and, if there's been a Chinese cover-up, if there's been a game of function cover-up, or just out and out, lies.
Yeah.
That's a possibility. Dr. Francis Collins has been the director of the National Institute of Health since 2009.
Oh.
So he's another one of these guys that's,
career bureaucrat.
Yeah. You're at the top of the bureaucracy. So now we've got this Omicron variant. Unprecedented number of spike mutations and possesses a very high global risk. That's according to the World Health Organization. They said that just today. There's fears that the new variant has got the potential to be more resistant to the protection offered by vaccines. I guess anytime you've got this thing mutating and changing as it goes along, it's not exactly the same flu that we were dealing with.
Yeah.
It's changing, and then the science changes and whatever.
And I like how they're saying this, like the vaccine has been 100%, since
effective
it came out.
Right.
And a ton of people are already testing positive, even vaccinated.
Well, most are saying, I saw the young lady, Dr. Frieda Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
She was on Fox News yesterday, and she did say that, the guy was like, do you think you should get vaccinated? And most health officials are continuing to say that, get vaccinated, it'll help out. Also, Dr. Francis Collins, the director of the National Institute of Health, had this to say about the variant, I guess you would say. And he talks about it being different, and he explains how.
Yeah. We do know that this is a variant that has a lot of mutations, like 50 of them, and more than 30 of those in the spike protein, which is the part of the virus that attaches to your human cells if you get infected. That is a new record in terms of the number of mutations. It does make you worry, therefore, that it's a sufficiently different virus that it might not respond as well to protection from the vaccines, but we don't know that.
Very effervescent, like he's at a cocktail party. He's got a crowd around him.
Yeah.
And he's saying, let me tell you about this new one, man.
Yeah.
Just found out about this one Wednesday. I've been a lot of Zoom calls.
Yeah, like he's talking about the new Corvette or something.
Exactly. So he didn't seem, just in his tone, he didn't seem like he was panicking.
Right.
He seemed like he was excited a little bit.
Yeah.
Is that possible?
Did. Well, I read, and I think it is possible, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But last week, as I was preparing for the morning show, I was reading 6% of Africans are vaccinated, but the virus has disappeared from there. Why is that? That was kind of the part of the headline. And I was thinking, well, it's seasonal, and I think it's here to stay. And I didn't think it was that outrageous that only 6% were vaccinated and that it had kind of disappeared for a little while. But then literally the next day is when this Omicron news comes out. And the first headline I read about that said, horrific. a horrific new variant, but then the rest of the article said absolutely nothing about why
it was so horrible.
Said variant was so horrific.
Yeah.
And some doctors, like one of them that has seen these cases in South Africa, Dr. Angelique Coetzee, says the symptoms are different than they're used to seeing. She said they're unusual, but mild.
Milder,
symptoms.
Right.
And I think it is possible that this is good news, even though the market fell out on Friday with this news. Dow dropped 900 points.
Good news how?
Well, remember at the very beginning, and I did not know a lot about viruses early on, but one thing I thought I knew was that a virus is a living thing, right? And its main purpose is to stay alive. If a virus is too deadly and it kills everyone, well, then it has no host to survive off of. So when it evolves, I've always thought that a virus evolves into a less deadly but more transmissible form.
Right. That sounds exactly what this is.
Yeah. And I said that early on, and you really didn't hear very many people talking about that. And that kind of faded away, that information that I thought I knew initially. But if that's the case here, if it's more transmissible, okay, that stinks. But if it's much more mild and has a lot less lethal ability, then I would think that would be good news. It would be a lot more like the common flu, right?
You catch COVID, so now you have antibodies, and it doesn't do much damage to you.
Yeah.
That'd be okay. And I'm speaking with FM Talk 106.5 staff epidemiologist Dalton Orwig.
That's doctor.
Dr. Dalton Orwig. you've now ascended to that post. Okay, today Scotland reported 6 cases of the variant.
Ooh.
They started contact tracing in order to establish the origin of the virus and any further individuals that may have come in contact in recent weeks. The Scottish Health Secretary said, according to Reuters, that they've also received 13 cases of the new variant in Portugal.
Mm.
Okay, so Dr. Collins, back to him again, standing in the middle of the cocktail party.
Yeah,
everybody
drink in hand.
Trying to figure out, what's the latest, doctor? He says, he talks about the severity, and really, hear him out. I don't think he says it's less severe necessarily, though I heard other doctors say that. He's just kind of saying the data's not in.
We can certainly see that in South Africa and a few neighboring countries in south part of Africa, this does seem to be spreading quite rapidly. So the inference would be there that it's particularly contagious. We don't know about its severity. Trying to collect that data as quickly as possible.
So more likely to get it. It's spreading quickly. Same thing was said about Delta.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Correct? One of the main talking points when that thing hit the news late June, early July, whenever it was, well, the one thing about this Delta is it is spreading a whole lot more rapidly. Now, have people been getting as sick and dying from the Delta variant?
I don't know if it's more lethal than the initial wave, but remember, part of what played into the numbers early on, with so many deaths early on in America, was we didn't really know at the time exactly how to care for the virus.
Right.
A lot of people were dying when they would put the ventilators, in, and it would basically fry their lungs from the things I was reading. And then you also, of course, had the huge nursing home mistakes where they would send people back to nursing homes.
Right.
And we know, especially now, we know how much more this affects the elderly or people with comorbidities. So two major mistakes there were with the ventilators and with that, and also not knowing how to care for it. But, you know, the numbers, they say there have been more than 5 million people worldwide who have died from COVID since it began. Pete asks, he says, how many variants will it take for the people to realize it's not about any virus, but about perpetual pandemic for permanent government tyranny? And I especially noticed this time around that there were a lot more shrugging of shoulders with this new variant news. And while you have
talking about the general population. Okay.
I mean, did you watch the crowd storm the field on Saturday? How about Michigan beating Ohio State and like 103,000 people high-fiving and hugging and getting down there on the ground, you know?
Look, in Mobile, we had a guy slap a friend on the thigh and his gun went off. So that you can't get any closer to somebody than that.
Right. So you have, you know, the Bidens and you have the Francis Collins and all these people who are, you know, saying take it seriously and even installing more travel restrictions. And I've loved it this weekend, people pointing back to Biden and Kamala Harris and so many other prominent liberals who, when Trump shut down travel, early on, they said it was racist. And he shut down travel from Africa. That was one of the first ones. They said, oh, can you believe this? It's because they have brown or black skin. That's why Trump is putting these mandates in. And then Biden does it, and you don't hear a peep. You know, it was all about winning the 2020 election for them then, and it was about branding the Republican Party as racist, when now
it doesn't fit.
It doesn't fit the narrative at all, does it? So it seems like, to me, and let us know if you feel the same way out there, even though I know our audience is a little bit different than the mainstream population, but it just seems like a lot fewer people are worried with the news of this new variant. And Fauci yesterday said, no, I don't know, maybe there'll be another lockdown, maybe there won't. And he caught more barbs from Rand Paul yesterday, which we can discuss coming up in the next segment.
Hey, Matt is on the line. Matt, I ask you to hang on. We're up against a break here, but we'll get to you and any other calls at 251-343-0106. Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings at 817 on FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. All the different variants, right, that we've seen, COVID-19. The most prominent would be the Delta variant.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Were there other variants that were actually made the news?
Alpha.
When did that?
I don't remember making the news. Let's see. Alpha was in the UK.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that now.
Beta, Gamma, and now we're down to Omicron, which, by the way, skipped a couple Greek letters there. Talk about that in just a minute. First, this segment of the show brought to you by a great event that's coming up this Thursday. It's the Partners for Environmental Progress's largest industrial reverse trade show. It's the largest on the Gulf Coast. It's coming up this Thursday from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Fort Whiting Auditorium. And what happens at these reverse trade shows, you get to meet in person with decision makers from local manufacturing, healthcare, engineering firms, contractor firms, and even government contractors. And this year they're returning to an in-person format. And reverse trade show, it brings decision makers from the entire industry together in one location. Ticket holders from the supplier, vendor, and service sectors are the visitors. They kind of do a little bit of a reverse here. They're the visitors who walk through the show, calling on plant managers, purchasing managers, engineers, maintenance managers from industry, shipbuilding, multidisciplined engineering firms, major medical centers, and more. It's the PEP Industrial Reverse Trade Show, and it's this Thursday, December 2nd, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at Fort Whiting. For tickets or more information, visit pepmobile.org.
Sounds like a good event. And also, keep in mind, it's limited hours, only 3 hours long in the afternoon.
Right.
824 at FM Talk 106.5. To the phone lines we go at 251-343-0106. And Matt is in Mobile, or at least he's driving around somewhere. Hey, Matt.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
I follow a group. I don't know, it's getting more popular now. I don't know if y'all have heard of them, but the America's Frontline Doctors.
I do not follow.
So over, I think, 20,000 physicians and scientists now, who just kind of report things that they find about COVID and the variants and such. But just a few things that they found are that, number one, the vaccines are actually causing the variants. So getting the vaccine is actually what causes the variants.
Because the virus is trying to find a way around, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the variants have already been planned. So how do we know, you know, if we have an outbreak of a virus, when it's going to mutate, what date that it's going to mutate in the future up to a year from now? I mean, you know, so that's a red flag to me.
Now, when you say planned, they're forecasting when they expect new variants to show up or what?
Yes. So have you seen the list of, you know, they have every variant and what month? That they're going to start advertising it, I guess you could say.
Wow.
No.
So, Matt, have they come out with a statement since this new variant has been become a headline maybe 2 or 3 days ago? Have they said anything since that?
I haven't heard them say anything about the new variant.
Okay.
But another interesting thing, so Pfizer, since 2002, has over $2 billion in criminal convictions for knowingly releasing treatments that kill people.
Right.
So not only did they know that the treatments were going to kill, they knew the treatments were going to kill people, and they put the treatments out anyway.
And a lot of that was the opioids, right?
And well, it was a lot of things. It was the arthritis medication. I can't remember. There's like a lot of medications.
Right.
That and so.
Isn't that what the Food and Drug Administration is for?
Yeah. So why are we trusting? Mm-hmm. Why are we trusting the main voices and the doctors that you know, even our primary care doctors, you know, we got to think about where are they getting their information from? They're getting their information from the same people, you know, that Pfizer writes some of the textbooks for, you know, for medical school.
Right.
So why are we trusting, and I hate that we can't trust our doctors, but it's a valid question. Where are they getting their information from? And why do we need to take it as solid gold just because they have an MD behind their name?
Yeah. Yeah, great call there, Matt. And Pfizer, obviously, Pfizer, Moderna, J&J, they have incentive, financial incentive, obviously, and they've made billions and billions of dollars already from all this. But it's a great question. Now, I haven't seen the timeline thing where people said, you know, on November 19th, the...
No, the only person that's done that is Ricky. He's no longer allowed on the show.
Right, yeah.
The name of the group, again, that you follow, Matt?
AmericasFrontlineDoctors.org.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the information. That's very.
Hey, y'all have a great day.
Very
thanks,
helpful.
Matt.
Bye-bye.
And I mentioned
some more. I'll go.
And Dan texted. Speaking of the narrative, guess whose trial this new variant's monopoly of the news is conveniently overshadowing? And that's Ghislaine Maxwell, whose trial starts today. And we'll talk about that here in just a minute. But I mentioned, you know, they're going down the Greek alphabet, right? As they find these new variants.
No, they were.
They were, and then they decided to skip a couple, because before Omicron, there's new, NU, and then Z, XI. Now, someone corrected me earlier. I was not in the Greek system in college. I did not go to a fraternity, and so I've been saying G, just like the Chinese leader, but that's how it's spelled, right? So it said Z, but the WHO, who names these variants, skipped past new and Z.
They thought new sounded too much like...
New,
brand new
NEW, right. Which, you know, it kind of fit, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, why not go through with it? But then the Z one, their excuse for skipping that one was not because they were told by the Chinese government.
I called it the Robinson excuse.
Yeah, the popular surname excuse. They said it was skipped because it's a common surname. Using common surnames as disease names is avoided so as not to cause offense to any cultural, social, national, regional, professional, or ethnic groups. Obviously, the leader of China's name is Xi Jinping, and you have to think that, I mean, it's so obvious why they skipped that, but doesn't that just ruin their credibility even a little bit further? If they're entirely unwilling to truly look into the origins of the virus, and they won't name it a variant.
They don't want any association with China at all.
No.
The way they're avoiding it, saying that's a, you know, like I said, like if the next... thing in the alphabet was Robinson.
Right.
Or Jones. Oh, that's a common surname. Yeah. And that would offend so many Jones and Robinsons around the world.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane, this world we're living in now. And speaking of which, the Maxwell trial starts today. Dan mentioned it. Why don't we talk about that a little bit when we get back here?
Also, Bill is on the line, and he'll talk to us after the break.
KN 835 FM Talk 106.5 coming to the phones and text in just a minute, 251-343-0106. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing great here at the FM Talk 106.5 studios, and I know it was a great weekend at McConnell, setting up for a great week here.
That's right. I mean, it looks like we're going to have beautiful weather, too. I mean, we got some great trades. Bought an AT4 over the weekend. It's got 8,000 miles on it. Pick them up truck, Sierra, half ton. It just looks, sitting here looking at it, looks white, and great deals on it. Got a 21 Denali, gray, used. It's going to be certified. Don't forget about that certified. That gets that powertrain up to 100,000 miles, which is a great deal. Don't forget, we got having trucks come in every day just about now, so I know the lot looks rough, but we'll have them coming in, and they're usually sold when they get here. So if you're looking for a new pickup truck or anything like that, just give us a call, 251-476-4141. Ask for the new car department, and they'll tell you what's coming in, what's sold, and what's not sold. Don't forget, we'll buy your car. Call Gene or I. We got a new used car manager named Nick Mead. I want to welcome all Nick here and get all of his friends from Pensacola, get all them over here, start buying some cars from us, and just call us up and give us a VIN and the miles. If you want to sell it, get some Christmas cash, and we'll give you a price right over the telephone.
Good stuff. Thank you, Louis.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
FM Talk 106.5, Dan Brennan, Dalton Orwig at 8:36. A lot of Omicron talk this hour, which was, I wasn't even familiar with the word at all.
4 days ago.
None. Yeah. But I am now. Bill is on the line, and Bill is in Mobile, I believe. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning to you. Yeah, I just wanted to talk about, you know, the last caller talked about planned variants or something along those lines.
Mm, yeah.
You know, I don't really know so much about that, but what I do know, or what I've been able to glean from some physicians and vaccinologists and immunologists, is that the variants that COVID-19 have, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but the variants are already out there, and basically because of the, you know, the spike protein, the feature of ADE, antibody-dependent enhancement, is that the spike protein doesn't match up with the viruses that are out there. So therefore, the variants that already exist are being selected for, as we said before, a virus wanting to survive and all that other stuff, for survivability, right, being able to be transmitted and all that other stuff. So, you know, to say that there's some sort of plan or what have you, I mean, I can't speak to that, but I can say that it is known that the variants are out there, that we're just waiting to see what gets selected next,
right,
by nature.
I could see how, you know, virologists could forecast that there would be new variants just by, you know, the past and seeing viruses mutate previously. But it almost seems like at this point, and I'm not saying that COVID is necessarily equal to the flu, but at what point will it be like we're just, you know, imagine every time the flu mutated, which is all the time.
All the time.
Imagine if every time that happened, it took
it was a headline.
The news.
Yeah. And the stock market drops 900 points.
Right, exactly. It's kind of, right, seems like that's the point we're getting to here.
Sure, sure. Well, and then also there's the, you know, the vax pass and the green pass and all this other stuff that's kind of a backdoor excuse to sort of jolt the public into some sort of biometric, global biometric database,
yeah,
which I think we need to be very vigilant and adamant to be against that.
Right.
Sure.
You have China's social credit system, which is real, where they have everyone in a database and they can deduct points from you if you do something against Dear China, and then all of a sudden you can't get a credit card or you can't open a business. So, yeah, that's something certainly to watch out for.
And we've seen Davos and the World Economic Forum and the United Nations are already putting out white papers, putting out their plans for this very same scenario here in the West. So
what did you think about when this headline hit over the weekend? Friday, I guess, is when it hit with the stock market dropping. Considering what you know and what you believe, you know, what you've investigated, what did this headline mean to you? Just break it down.
I mean, for this specific thing, I just kind of took it as a bunch of noise,
mm-hmm.
yeah. A bunch of noise on the road to, you know, to me, the whole backdrop is this biometric pass and social credit score and all that stuff. To me, that's where it's all headed to. So this is just another bump in the road onto that eventual outcome. So that's what it, to me, is just noise. It's just another, you know, little blip.
Noise, but noise we should pay.
The next, I think 2030 is kind of the end date of where this thing's supposed to, hopefully, according to Davos and them, and the white papers and their documents, according to them, hopefully we'll all be in the biometric system by 2030. So
all right.
That's all that it means to me.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for your call, and thanks for your talking points. Appreciate it.
BA says, I think most people have come to accept COVID as a part of life moving forward, and they are extremely tired of the fear porn being peddled by big media. And that's certainly the case. If you look, did it seem like people that were out at football games this weekend were concerned with the Omicron variant? It sure didn't seem that way to me.
You could not have kept Michigan people off that field. They were so ready to beat Ohio State finally.
Yeah.
No, they didn't seem that way at all.
Even if they knew that Harbaugh had the Omicron variant, they still would have given him a big, wet, sloppy kiss on the mouth after that one.
There would have been 100,000 people willing to, as happened in Mobile over the weekend, slap Harbaugh on the thigh. The new greeting that we didn't even know was out there. There would have been a bunch of thigh slapping in the direction of Jim Harbaugh.
I also think, you know, remember what's coming up, and that's the 2022 midterms. And, you know, regardless of whether you think the election was stolen or not in 2020, you have to admit that a lot of the voting, the traditional voting rules were changed. And it was all in the name of COVID to keep people from, you know, gathering at polling places. They made it much easier for people to vote from their own homes. And with the 2022 midterms up now, I know this is an international story. You have Israel, you have the Netherlands, all these other countries that are blocking it down. But with the 2022 midterms, there's certainly incentive to make this a huge headline and say, hey, we can't send people out to the polling places to vote with this Omicron variant out there. And we need to kind of keep it rolling like we did back in 2020.
Interesting.
But there's also, and I don't know whether this was intended or not, a lot of people would say it is, there's a huge trial that begins today. And there are a lot of very powerful people and a lot of very important people who could be in some major trouble. And that's because this Ghislaine Maxwell trial is set to begin today. And Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, was the right-hand woman, the assistant to Jeffrey Epstein. And Jeffrey Epstein, who notoriously killed himself, right, in the prison.
Some people
say he didn't kill himself.
Somebody killed Jeffrey Epstein, whether it was Jeffrey Epstein or somebody else.
Right.
But he's dead.
So this Maxwell trial, now, they did not offer a plea deal, which I thought was interesting, because they could have made it cushy, right, and said, hey, just take this plea deal, and then maybe a lot of things that could come out in the media wouldn't be coming out here in these next few weeks. I'm following this account on Twitter already, and I encourage you, if you're on Twitter, to do the same, the Maxwell Trial Tracker. And you can follow them at Tracker Trial. Now, this won't be publicized like the Rittenhouse trial and the killing of Ahmaud Arbery trial. Someone explained to me that that's because those were trials held in state court. And with this being a federal trial, there are different rules as far as the
coverage
of it.
Yeah.
But there's already some weird things happening. So first off, the judge, Allison Nathan, was just recommended by Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer and President Biden for an appointment to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit. So going into the trial, this judge gets a promotion, right? And then yesterday, or maybe Saturday, the news came out that Maxwell's request that evidence in the trial be redacted to hide, quote, sensational and impure information was granted. The judge granted that request. So what we'll be seeing from this trial, they're going to actually redact a lot of that evidence, and they said it's to keep basically fake news out of the media. That is a major problem, especially for people kind of trying to get to the bottom of this and see what the actual truth was.
Well, especially, you know, Epstein's, in the wake of Epstein's death and things not getting out, it doesn't seem like it's keeping fake news from getting out. It seems like it's getting the news from getting out a little bit. You know, back to the election thing, Secretary of State John Merrill is a Republican, but he was all for any which way we can get this done,
right?
He was a big numbers guy. Like, he was talking about the census forever, which, of course, Sean did as well. Let's get the census right so we don't lose in the state of Alabama. He was also very big about allowing things to happen on Saturdays to make sure people voted. Over the weekend, I'm trying to think where it was. It was something like a ball game or... And it was brought, one of the sponsors of this event was Secretary of State John Merrill.
Really?
He bought advertising.
Was it the Iron Bowl?
I'm wondering where I saw it or heard it. And I apologize because while watching games, sometimes I'm drinking a beer. So my sense of recall, maybe not at its finest over the weekend.
Thigh slaps all around after that Georgia win over Georgia Tech.
Thigh slaps. You got it, man. John Merrill, sponsored, you know, brought to you by Secretary. Maybe I heard it over the PA at Auburn. I don't know. Anyway, text line or call if you've got any idea about that. got a special guest on the way.
Yeah. Representative Andrew Sorrell will be guest hosting today, the Jeff Poor Show, and we're going to drag him in a good 10 minutes early.
Okay.
Kind of see what he's got going on today. And then also Midday Mobile will be guest hosted by former State Senator Rusty Glover. So a busy day here at FM Talk 106.5.
I don't think any politician needs to be dragged into a studio. It's 847, Dan and Dalton. Good morning. Dan and Dalton at 8:51, 9 minutes away from 9 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5.
So,
a lot of texts. We'll try to get to a few of those before we wrap it up. Also, Jeff Poor Show is up at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
How in the world can we have a Jeff Poor Show? Well, we don't have any Jeff Poor. You got the answer to that, Dalton.
Oh, well, I think this is the first day off, you know, outside of holidays that Jeff has taken since the birth of his son.
Yeah.
On January 6th.
January 6th. Great day to be off, Jeff.
And even then, he returned the following day. So in his stead today, State Representative Andrew Sorrell is here in studio. I guess you stayed the night down here last night. A long drive for you down here to the Gulf Coast.
Well, yeah, it's about 6 hours.
6 hours. Yeah, from the very northern tip of the state. And looking forward to you guest hosting today on the Jeff Poor Show. And kind of tell us, you know, what do you got planned? You got some guests coming on, or what are we looking at today?
Well, we got all kinds of good stuff. We got Pity Party or Gloat Fest, depending on which side of the Iron Bowl you were on. Yeah, we do have a lot of special guests today. We've got Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth coming on at the bottom of the hour, 9:30. We've got Congressman Mo Brooks. And I wanted to work in some people who maybe don't get as much airtime as they deserve. I wanted to work in some political activists, some of the people who really, I think, made a big impact in the passage of Senate Bill 9 and Senate Bill 15 in the special session. And that would be a lady by the name of Casey Cavender with Health Freedom Alabama. And Casey's a new friend of mine. We worked together. I saw her in the State House just constantly throughout that special session. And I really feel like her group made an impact. They were the ones that hosted that big rally the day, the first day we were down there. 300 people showed up, marched around the State House 7 times. It was like the walls of Jericho.
Yeah.
I knew we were about to pass some bills when I saw them show up. So wanted to make sure they got a little bit of airtime today as well. So that's just kind of a good overview of what we're looking at for the next 3 hours.
We had a group from here show up.
Yeah, Pete Ream and the crew, I think, went up there to Montgomery that day.
A couple of busloads from Mobile and Baldwin County were up there, too.
And now, Senate Bill 9 was the last big, you know, push and pull in Montgomery. Do you think that actually played a pretty big role, everyone going up there and kind of protesting? Do you think that played any role in that passing? Or?
So I'll tell you this. When I arrived, the day I arrived, I did not think we were going to pass SB 9 and SB 15. I didn't see it happening. 5 days later, we're passing both the bills.
What was the key? Was it like the public intervention?
There were two keys. It was public intervention for sure by groups like Health Freedom, and then also just by people that are about to get fired and lose their job. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody in Huntsville is a federal contractor. They're all about to lose their job. I'm not their state rep. I'm from Muscle Shoals, but they're all calling me. I'm sure they're calling their own state reps and state senators. There was a lot of public pressure, but also we got to give some credit to the state senate here. I mean, they dropped those bills in our lap in the House and said, deal with them or don't. Hmm. It's on you either way.
Yeah.
And what choice do we have but to pass them?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Senator Arthur Orr a couple Sundays ago at an event, and I said to him, I said, thank you for doing that. Thank you for passing those bills and sending them down to us in the House.
Excellent.
Now, obviously, the big news, and we've talked about it a lot this hour, is this new variant that's been discussed all over the national news this weekend, the Omicron variant. And what's your take now as these news stories keep churning? Do you think, as so many of our listeners have said this morning, do you think it really is about the power that it gives lawmakers to say, hey, there's this new dangerous variant? I explained earlier, the first headline I read, they were calling this a horrific new variant, and then nowhere in the story did it describe why the variant is so horrific. And I know we have a lot of headline readers out there who don't actually dig in at all, and so they're going around, and I'm sure Thanksgiving leftovers on Friday we're telling family, oh, have you heard this new horrific variant that's out there? Do you feel that this is now just kind of a tool to be used for more power from the government? And do you think people, you know, your 9-to-5ers, your blue-collar workers, do you think they even care anymore? What's your take on all that?
No, they've been worn out with the inconsistencies from Anthony Fauci, with the inconsistencies from the way the government has approached dealing with the coronavirus, from the lack of effectiveness of the different methods that the government has used to try to slow down or stop the spread of the coronavirus. I mean, and who wouldn't be worn out? I mean, we get told conflicting things. We get told masks don't work, don't bother. And then we get told a couple months later, you have to wear a mask.
You know, you and I have something in common. You picked a very, well, you chose an interesting time to become a public, an elected official, right? Crazy. This was your first time in office.
Yeah, first time, first term.
So for about 25 years in this town, I played country music, did one-liners, and said, here's Tim McGraw. Ha, ha, ha. Can't do that here. So we both entered this arena at a very interesting time, not in just this country, but even here in the state.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And when I ran for state house, I was never supposed to win, by the way.
I remember that. Yeah, you were an outsider.
I was an outsider, and I didn't get a lot of what you would call the Montgomery support, sure. The PAC support, whatnot. My opponent in the primary was a community college president, and I think that Montgomery basically assumed, by and large, that he was going to win.
How did you win?
Well, he made one mistake. He didn't go talk to the voters.
Wow.
And that's important in any election. You can never forget that.
What I've seen from you, that's almost your specialty. Well, you're willing to talk to voters. You're willing to get out there and talk issues.
Let me tell you my political philosophy. So I was out campaigning for state house. This was the primary in 2018. This would have been probably late spring 2018. I got a phone call from a large PAC in Montgomery, a large organization. They said, Andrew, we like you, but we're going to go with your opponent. And I got off that phone call, and I said to my wife, Hannah, we're done in Montgomery. Forget it. There's no votes in Montgomery. We're going to knock doors. That's how we're going to win this race. And that's what we did. And mm-hmm. then lo and behold, the primary day comes, and not only did I win, I got 77%.
Amazing. And so now it's...
Yeah, now...
Another job is what you're looking for.
A lot more doors to knock on, because yes. you're in a statewide race, yeah. and there's plenty of doors, and I'm sure that's... We're glad to have you down here. I'm sure that's a big reason why you're... and I love when you come on with Jeff Poore and get your take on a lot of these different things. So we're looking forward to you hosting today. I do want to get to a couple of texts here before
sure.
we end
Let's
up the
it.
Show. Keith here said, I want to make this point. I have something called the Alabama Common Cold. I'm not sure which variant that is. He said, respiratory congestion and blowing nose. I forfeited going to enjoy the day with my large family because of the new COVID world we live in. I did not feel bad, but didn't want to put others skeptical of being around me. Sucks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I feel you, Keith. Even though
he was just worried about the reaction to him being there sniffling and everybody calling him out.
And that's called kindness, what Keith did there.
Yeah, it is.
That's a tough holiday to step away from. But the same thing happened in my little household, you know? Mm-hmm. We went for the second year in a row. Now, last Thanksgiving, we caught COVID, and I was out for a couple weeks after Thanksgiving. And then this Thanksgiving, you know, everybody gets sick again. We did the COVID testing, and everyone was fine. But yeah. it's ridiculous.
You were out for 2 weeks, but you came in after 1 week, and you looked like you've been in a sauna. And I said, Dalton, please.
Don't come back.
Don't feel like you got to be here today.
Sam says, the social credit system China uses is coming to America. A friend told me a while ago that some corporations are beginning to use it for employees, and so that's the beginning, I would bet. And that's kind of what we've seen, right, is from corporations down, when the government, these last 2 years, when they need something to happen, that's who they go to, right? They mm-hmm. go to the Googles and the Facebooks and the Apple
and Amazon. In this case, the Airbuses mm-hmm. and the Austin.
So rather than decree a law from the top, right. They try to do that, pass it through these corporations who employ a bunch of Americans, and that's kind of how they get it done. I don't know. It's a crazy world we're living in.
It is. Today. It is. Trying to keep up with it here. Not playing country music anymore. But this is a country song. It's just leading us to a break, and then to Andrew Sorrell and the Jeff Poore Show is on the way on FM Talk 106.5.